Ollie's having a good munch to sort of recreate the gargling effect from last episode.
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe that's what she was talking about when she said ASMR. Maybe that was it. Ollie triggered her ASMR. Hang on, I'm going to have a drink as well.
Love a good lesbian biscuit. It's nice.
What?
Oh. That definitely sounded off the cuff.
Yeah. Check chocolate lesbians.
That says Leibniz. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even look like... Lesbian doesn't have a Z in it.
We always, you can't spell oil.
You always called them chocolate lesbians. You always flushed spiders down the toilet. You're not painting a very nice picture of Great Yarmouth.
It's not just a Yarmouth thing. It's like other people that I've associated with have also called them lesbian biscuits and flushed spiders down the loo. It's not an unheard of.
You should get some better friends, Ollie.
Yeah, that's what I think about every time I do this podcast.
Set you up there.
Is chocolate that Leibniz?
Who calls it Leibniz? Who's going to go to like? Well, ooh, I like
the person who invented them, apparently.
I don't know. Yeah, but like, I just call them could have been Lebanese or could have been lesbians, but I went Leibniz. I don't know. Leibniz.
Shall we get on with the show?
Is this the show?
This is the show. hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm now leaving a gap for them to say hello back.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right, you?
Wait, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listener. All three of them.
Well, no, you're talking to me as well.
I'm not talking to you. I'm going out of my way not to talk to you.
We haven't really talked to the audience. I mean, the audience, we don't even know if people listen. We're just talking to each other and just like letting
I know in. People are listening. I know 29 people downloaded the last episode. Which is like, is not loads, but it's like loads more than the six that downloaded the first few.
Well, that's almost Thank a you. Classroom's worth of people.
To those six are like the Knights of the Round Table. They're like, they're our originals.
Yeah, they're
if
our
we ever get,
cool
if we ever get massive,
groupies.
Imagine if we ever get massive, they'll be like, they'll have to turn up dressed as like Sir Gawain and Sir Galahad and, and sort of
Alex,
pledge
the
their
only,
allegiance to me.
The only massive we're getting is a massive disappointment, so that's a... That's about the extent of that. Then.
That's the spirit.
Why do I always get labelled as the pessimist of the group?
I don't know.
I'm happy-go-lucky. I'm a cool guy with a smile on my face and a song
I thought
in my
I
heart.
Was the more cynical one.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. We all think we're the most cynical one.
No, I'm definitely not the most cynical one, but like age.
No, you're just stupid. Anyway, welcome to the Rogue Specs podcast. I've lost track of what episode we're on now. I think probably 14 or 15.
15, I've got down.
That'd be good. I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking that we should do a special for the 50th one, but that's so far off that
it's
I thought,
like,
I'll 15, put that on the back burner.
That's like 50, so we do one a month, roughly. That's like about... 15.
Well, we might have them more regularly in the future, to be fair.
Maybe. Possibly.
You never know.
Maybe. I mean, if you're okay with that, Mr. George. So.
I don't
the
know.
The pooper in the corner over there is Oliver George.
He had to speak to my agent about that. You know.
Like, I think he's going to quit the band.
Your agent. Your agent is like, here we go, I can crowbar this into here now. Your agent is a bit like Derek Acora's spirit guide in that you just turn to the side and you'd be like, am I free for that, Sam? Sam, am I okay for that?
Right, Derek Acora, by the way.
Also, Mason's here as well. Say hello, Mason.
Hi, I'm
Mason. You haven't
Mason.
Got a spirit guide, have
right.
you?
No.
That speaks with a Liverpoolian accent.
You were having a go at me for comparing him to Darren Brown the other day, saying, like, he can't be that famous. I mean, Darren, he's not, like, Darren Brown level famous. He's exactly what Darren Brown is. He does more ghost paranormal
Well, no, because
sort of
Darren Brown, very, very front and centre. Right, okay, I've got to give context to the audience now. Ollie didn't know who Derek Acora was and then got very angry with the both of us.
Well,
no, you got
angry
back,
to be fair. I did
angry
get angry
with,
back.
Yeah, to be fair, we got angry at him for not knowing who's Derek.
You ran away. You just said, I've had enough.
Oh, yeah,
well,
I
you
had
went
enough.
To bed.
I literally had enough.
I just sort of lost the will to live.
Like,
Ollie didn't know
he
who Derek
was. On Harry Hill's TV, Bob. How do you not know
yeah,
who...
But then immediately after, you were like, well, I watched every episode of Harry Hill's TV,
yeah, but
really
like,
was
I can't
never
remember
it.
All the jokes. It wasn't exactly like every skit was like... the most memorable thing of all.
This is just an argument now. It's not even an introduction.
See, the most memorable Harry Hill skit I can remember was like, ear cataracts. And I don't know why that one stuck with me all these years, but ear cataracts has always stuck with me. But Derek Akua, funnily enough, the reality TV show host from Most Haunted, has not ideally stuck
he
with
did
me.
Not host
Harry
Most
Hill
Haunted.
Would always have a clip of Derek Akua being like possessed by a dead dog or something.
I can't believe you've never seen the clip of Most Haunted Live where he keeps going, Mary loves dick. Mary loves dick.
No, I can't say I have. That's a revelation to me.
But my favourite thing Mason said when he came into the conversation was like, what rock were you living under? Anyway, Darren Brown.
How am I going to be under a rock if I've not heard of Derek Akua? It's not like he's David Attenborough. Like, that's the sort of that's the way I was making the comparison.
But that's what you were doing. You were like, well, I you say you have not heard of Derek Akua, but monkeys can tap dance. It was like nothing ever is part of the conversation. You just bring something else.
Like,
he's never played a tambourine on the moon. Well, he's never played a wobble board with the gangfish. Don't know what gangfish is, just made it up.
What the hell's a gangfish?
Or did I?
Oh, are you just...
Anyway, Darren Brown's an illusionist that says he's an illusionist. Derek Akua is a charlatan. Hang on. Legal reasons. Derek Akua claims that he is connecting with the other side and did a program called Michael Jackson, The Live Seance, which is the greatest or worst hour of television ever recorded. I think it might even be longer than that, but I'm not sure. And there's a bit where he goes, because he's got a really husky Liverpudlian accent, he says, I can connect with Michael, but he's got a very sore throat.
Was that the show? It was literally shot in like a really small room with a round table, and there
was
Michael's hat was just like in the middle
of
the thing.
Because Charlie Brooker gets into it a lot as well.
From Charlie Brooker now.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about Derek Akua.
No, we've got a lot to talk about.
Ollie's. That's it. Let's not make the legal things on here.
How's that illegal?
I have to edit out. You're illegal.
Come on, lads.
Why do we do this? Why do we do this to ourselves? Anyway, I want to talk about video games, so fuck yous.
Games!
I swear. Oh, okay.
E3!
I forget that we need Ollie to tell us exactly which bit we're on every time.
Well, then
so
you do the games, and then you do the whatever cheesy crap you pull from.
Do you not call the work of Kevin MacLeod cheesy crap? You ungrateful little shit!
Look,
the amount of work he gives for free, and was like, oh, this is a bit cheesy and crap. You're cheesy. Speaking of cheesy and crap, we'll get to the Avengers game later on. Anyway, E3, which I believe is stands for the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which is held in the America, usually in LA. I think they did it in Vegas one year, which is the one I wish I'd gone to.
Vegas.
It's held every year. It's a industry trade show where the different salespeople, and I'm going to call them that, of the various video game heavy hitters turn up to show off the tat they wish us to buy.
And that's for Sony this year.
Will you stop? I've got it. I've scripted this bit.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Oh,
it
he's put script into it.
Anyway,
Alex,
so
scripting this was a mistake. I'm sorry. With us two, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to shut up now and let you carry on.
The interesting thing about this year was that one of the biggest hitters, Sony, didn't turn up.
Shock, horror.
Also, EA.
Yeah,
you didn't get that, did you? EA, as in Electronic Arts. They used to go, EA Games, challenge everything.
I didn't know they were still going, to be fair.
What, EA? EA were...
This is how out of touch I am with video games.
I'm so worried now that neither of you have recognised that EA wasn't there, that I'm going to see what was EA at E3 2019. I don't think they were. I've not seen them mentioned.
No, because they did Star Wars before the event, didn't they? So that would have been there.
Yeah. Oh God, that. Yeah. Wait, I can't. I don't want to turn off AdBlock. Whatever. So EA and Sony weren't there, which made the whole thing a little bit more bearable. You know what? I'm just going to go through what I thought of the whole thing. I didn't watch the whole thing because I've got a job now.
Summarise.
I used to back in university days. I used to stay up till the early hours of the morning to watch them. But that was back when I don't know, they were less, they weren't less shit, but it was just like I found it funnier. Now it just tires me. So what I thought was the Microsoft one, I skip watch through because I hate Microsoft one is usually the worst one. Actually, by all accounts, it's one of the less worst ones this year, which is interesting. Because they just showed a lot of games. They didn't do much of the standard Microsoft spiel. They basically announced a new Xbox without really announcing it. It was a bullshit Microsoft, it can do all this, these bells and whistles, but we haven't got a name for it yet. So it's called Project Scarlet, which is very Gerry Anderson. I did like that aspect of it. But
why don't they just call it the Xbox 2? Then play it back because the last one was
don't
Xbox
say
one.
That because they probably fucking will.
Right, yeah, they will. Well, everyone was like going to go on about it being the 720 because they thought that was a logical leap from 360.
Yeah, that was bullshit as well, though, to be fair.
Because everyone was like, oh, let's just double the number and like go 720. Yeah. Let's go with that. That's the next console. Nah. It's never going to be the next console.
360 was a great out there name for a console, to be fair, and and it was a really good console as well until they systematically ruined the operating system. But all I've written down here, because it's all tech babble that I don't really understand. Other people, if you're interested in the kind of specs of consoles and things like that, you're gonna have to go and read it yourself. All I know is that it claims that it's going to support 8K resolution. And it's going to be entirely solid state drive rather than anything else. I don't really, again, I'm only semi understand that.
Here's the BS with 8K, because like no one really sees beyond 4K definition. No. Really, I mean, you can get 8K, but like it's you get so much detail with 4K that anything above that is just like flipping.
Truly, deeply. Weird. It's sort of a race to the top. It's like the old at the time when, I mean, this is such a deviation from the point, but the 48 frames thing that Peter Jackson did for The Hobbit that did nothing. Like, you can't even buy the 48 frames version.
60
no,
frames?
No, 48.
No, it was 48 frames, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not getting that wrong, am I?
He did 48 frames per second.
48 versus 24, and it was like, oh, it makes it crisp, but it just fucking ruined all the miniatures because the miniatures didn't look very good anymore. So they did everything in CG. If you want to learn more about it, watch the excellent Lindsay Ellis videos on The Hobbit. It's that kind of thing, because now you can't even buy DVDs or Blu-rays of The Hobbit that are at 48 frames. Like, they it went at, you know, because it doesn't. 24's fine. Your eyes are like, yeah, this is fine. And nobody watched Psycho and thought, you know what, the problem with this is, I can see the frames in it, you know?
Yeah. Our eyes are so used to 24 frames per second, because that's how
we've
established the moving image since, like, early cinema. But, like, I mean, it was 18 frames per second, and then the standard became 24, like, years later and stuff like that, and then frame rate became a thing of, you know, using to adjust speed, etc., rather than other things. But that's called techno babble for another time.
Yes, I love it when I love it when we're knowledgeable on something, when suddenly one of us goes, well, actually, and then, well, not like, well, actually. Well, actually has got a bad press, but it goes, I can explain this. Anyway, the lack of EA and Sony was weird, but welcoming, because the EA ones got steadily more batshit as it went on. I remember the year that they just got Pele, the soccer star, on, and just talked to him for 20 minutes, and like all these sort of like gaming people in there were going, I don't know what this is. Like, they were trying to market it to the people that would buy FIFA anyway, and none of the people that only buy FIFA were watching E3, you know.
Or be at E3, probably.
Albeit E3.
Yeah.
But they still had the whooping assholes in there that they do in all of it. The sycophants, which genuinely, I've actually written down, because the one at Bethesda this year was unbearable. Did either of you watch Bethesda's E3?
No.
I'll show you a compilation. No. There's this one guy that goes, like everything. And it was like, all right, mate. I mean, Bethesda, I will get to Bethesda being shite in a bit. Everything. The one. I'll get to what I think. I've got a winners, a losers, and a pile. The one thing I noticed about this was that everything is off in 2020. There was very little announced for this year.
Yeah, which is surprising because I thought there would be a bit more for 2019 because this year is dead in the water for video games. Quite frankly, it's just like
it's a bit weird. Yeah,
I'm just trying to think. Usually, like fourth quarter is just crazy with trying to push for Christmas and stuff like that. Yeah. But this year, the only massive game I can think of, maybe Call of Duty.
Well, there's the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, whatever's going on there.
Yeah,
it's got Piccadilly Circus in it, weirdly.
Star Wars. Is Watch Dogs coming out this year? Or is
that's next year as well.
That's months. Yeah, it's like all first quarter or last quarter, and then like the middle of the year is completely dead half the time for video games, so it always like comes out like.
Yeah, there's always a summer drought, long as I remember. There's always been a summer drought.
Yeah,
which I've never really understood why someone doesn't just.
Yeah, I've never understood why no one has decided there's a big dead period here in the summertime when we can just, because I remember there was a point in September where Shadow of the Tomb Raider came out amongst all these other massive games.
Yeah, that was
and then it sold poorly, and I'm like, well, do you know why? Because your core gamer market is having to pay out for Red Dead, Spider-Man, and all this other stuff coming out.
But who's going to buy a video game in the middle of the summer?
Well, I would. Well, my birthday's in the middle of the summer, but I guess that makes me an odd one out.
Yeah. I've been meaning to pick up Soul Calibur 6 for ages, for now, but I've been waiting for the price drop on that. And Mortal Kombat 11 sort of came around, and that looks quite good. So.
Remember that Titanfall 2 launch debacle, where they launched it, there was Call of Duty came out, and then 2 weeks later Battlefield came out, and EA went, oh, we can release Titanfall 2 in that week in the middle. Who does that?
Yeah.
It would be like Dark Phoenix, not even Dark Phoenix, but it's like if there were two Marvel films coming out 2 weeks apart, which there wouldn't be, but two Marvel films coming out 2 weeks apart, and then DC going, we're going to go for the middle weekend. That level of why would you do that? But anyway, yes. So winners, I've made it a short list because we've got a lot to talk about this month. We're only doing monthly at the minute. Winners, things that I've remembered. Since that I can still picture in my head, the one that was the most surprising and that I went in going, I only watched it because someone told me to watch it. I have no interest in Watch Dogs 1. Watch Dogs 2, I was told, was decent, but I never played it. It was about nerds in a university somewhere, which I'm like, okay, Watch Dogs 3, one, Jesus Christ, none of it might come out. It might be completely pre-rendered, whatever, but at least it was gameplay, which you didn't see a lot of this year. But the whole thing, Ubisoft last week, the week before, doing the whole, we try to make our games apolitical. And it was like that thing of, well, you can't make something apolitical. You can only make something apolitical by completely cutting the guts out of it. Like, it's not, it's to be an arsehole for a moment, it's not art if you don't allow some of the art director, into it. And saying it's apolitical is like saying, no, we just want this to be bland as possible so we can sell it. That being said, watching Watch Dogs, there was no getting beaten around the bush with that. They were very... I mean, just in this thing where it was like, yo, Brexit's going to kill London and we've made a video game about it. I was like, okay. I know that you watched it and enjoyed it as well, Mason.
Yeah, I'm not really always up to date with video games or E3. I think this year I've watched the most from...
I think it's largely because I just kept sending it to you.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Watch Dogs Legion because that looks like a lot of fun. You get to play in a futuristic London, all neon and
It's sort of, I guess, near future. It's almost, you could almost argue that it's a cyberpunk aesthetic, but it's not. It's not. It's only literally the neon aspect of it. There's no other.
It's not. It's not to the level of another game that came out.
Yeah, which is definitely is on the list. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I had issues with the voice acting in the.
The voice acting was awful. I would completely with you on that. Yeah.
It just came across as so cheesy, and I don't know, just like.
But that was the whole fun part for me. I don't care. I mean,
it fit in with the old lady. The old lady was brilliant. The Bletchley Park woman.
It looks to me like it's a video game that's not taking itself too seriously. You can have fun with it. So
I hope so. I hope that's what
I hope
it's the aspect of it. It's the people who didn't see Watch Dogs Legion. It's set in a near future London under a totalitarian regime. London has been split into the boroughs are controlled by different crime lords. It said, it says, this is the bit that I'm sketchy on. It says you can hire anybody. I'm like, does that mean they're not going to write decent backstories for people? Because that's where it will start falling apart for me.
I imagine it'll be a bit like the what do you call it, the Assassin's Creed recruiting, the Brotherhood system, like where certain non-player characters.
Maybe, yeah. But that's the problem is, if you compare it to, you know, Assassin's Creed, the Assassin's Creed Syndicate, the London they made for that was beautiful. It was glorious. It was Victorian. You know, it was dying for a good story to be told in it, because it was the London of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And there's not. It's a terrible story, and it breaks my heart that, because you just have to play it for 10 minutes. You'll go, this is amazing. They've recreated Victorian London, and after 15 minutes, you'll go, this is the dullest game in the world. Because after you've walked down the Thames in London, and you're like, wow, look at that. Oh, look at that. You know, look at whatever the Tate Modern was called before, when it was still a power station. And you're like, look at that. It's got smoke coming out of it. But yeah, I hope I'm going to wrap up talking about this. But yeah, basically, you can recruit anybody. They've clearly fleshed out some characters, because there's the MI5 character that they leaned on a lot in the episode. They didn't actually show any gameplay of him, but they were like, this guy is ex-MI5, and then they go, and this woman is failed her Oxbridge exams and therefore became a robot drone woman. And then it's like, and then the best bit of the live presentation, where they showed a load of old women, it goes, the ladies of Bletchley Park, these ladies fucking invented hacking. And I watch it going, what is happening? Is this real?
Yeah.
I mean, part of me sending that to you two was like, I need you to watch this and tell me it's the thing that I've just watched.
That you're not dreaming.
Otherwise I'm going to go to the hospital. But yeah, Watch Dogs Legion, or as I put brackets, Landon Tan. Thing is with Ubisoft voice acting, as you say, there's a lot of good voice actors that they get a hold of every now and then. But like one of the supposedly better games that they made for the Assassin's Creed series was Assassin's Creed Rogue. And I had to stop playing it because the main character was quote-unquote Irish. They weren't. It was horrific. The accent in it is horrific, and if it turns out now that it wasn't actually an Irish person, I apologise. Apparently that's a dialect in Ireland. But he was like, well, we can't get on the ship right now because it's good, and I was like, I can't play this anymore. Because the other pirate game is a Welshman, and he sounded like a Welshman, and I was well into that. Watch Dogs London Town. Anyway, so
next,
I'm going to skip the one I put next because I'll come back to that later. Cyberpunk, and I put brackets Keanu.
The Keanu sorts. He's everywhere. He's everywhere.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, absolutely everywhere. The guy.
Explain Cyberpunk, please, Mason.
You really put me on the spot.
I can do it if you want. Okay, Cyberpunk.
It just looks really cool.
Okay, I thought, okay.
That's
it's based
it.
On
that's
a tabletop game, isn't it?
Like, it was cool.
I did not know
Cyberpunk
that.
Cyberpunk 2020 or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
2077, I know that.
No, but the tabletop game was called 2020.
Yeah, I think the reason a lot of people are very hyped for this game is because CD Projekt Red's last game was The Witcher 3, which is, for many, the definitive game of this generation, it seems.
I disputed that for ages because they were really cocky about comparing themselves to Bethesda, going, well, we make proper RPGs, and then I actually played it, and I was like, oh yeah, Bethesda make garbage compared to this.
It's basically CD Projekt Red taking on, like, a Blade Runner-esque sort of universe, and it's all first person perspective. It looks like a massive game with lots of options and customization. It looks like a massive undertaking, sort of thing, quite immersive. Like, you know, it's like, you know how some games are like, you need to have a second life in order to play them? Like, it looks like one of those sort of games.
It looks like a GTA sort of big, expansive, open world sort of thing.
Yeah.
I hope it's better at balancing it than Red Dead 2 was, because as much as I loved the story of Red Dead 2, the bits of it, you went, okay, you're really dragging your feet now.
Do you, here's a little interesting side tangent, but goes with this sort of, like, you know, the Keanu Reeves is in the game and stuff like that, but he looks like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Do you have a little bit of, I have a little bit of an issue with that sometimes, because it just sort of,
I
like,
do as well.
It,
yeah, I'm completely with you on that.
It sort
I
of
think
takes
it's...
away from the mocap sort of side of things. Like, yeah, they can just, like, literally just transform into anything. It's a problem I'm having with what's his name from Metal Gear, Kojima. His
game. Hideo Kojima. Hideo, yeah, he's Kojima. Getting into it a bit at the minute.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of that. Like, oh, here's this actor.
I let Hideo do this... it because he's just, the stuff he makes, you just get to the end of it, you go, oh, how is this in your head?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it because
David
it's
Cage
Keanu.
Is the worst one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
David Cage is the worst one because that's how he sells the, and he doesn't even call them games, he says they're interactive movies. The man who makes, that's for those who don't know, nobody who knows about him says his name properly, they always say it the way he does, which is David Cage, but he's the director, quote unquote, of what are they called? Quantic Dream, who made Heavy Rain, Detroit Become Blade Runner,
and
his other one, Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, that
one. Yeah, which he kept going on about. It's like, and I'm friends with Ellen Page, and then when it turned out that there was a rampant homophobia in his studio, he was like, I cannot be homophobic because I'm friends with Ellen Page. yeah, I'm going to put a disclaimer off. That's how I remember him saying it.
Jesus Christ.
What's that PlayStation game that's coming out with? It's got that guy from Walking Dead and... Lady
that's what
he
was talking about. Death Stranding.
Oh, is
Death
that what you're
talking about? That's Hideo Kojima's game, yeah.
Hideo
yeah.
Kojima.
Right, yes.
Who is a... If I could... Sorry, my telly's just doing a weird thing. If I could be a bit auteur theory about this, David Cage wants to be the one that people refer to as the Spielberg or the Hitchcock of games. He so
right.
wants to be a director. He wants to be seen as the director that made video games and a proper art form that the people watch. If anybody has done that and made their mark on the industry by showing, no, this is how this, you can tell that this is his game, it's Hideo Kojima, who did Metal Gear Solid. Because let me put it this way, in one of the Metal Gear Solid games, Mason, you're fighting a ninja,
right?
And the ninja is quicker than you, and the only way that you can beat the ninja that you have to figure out for yourself is unplugging the PlayStation controller and plugging it into controller port 2 so he doesn't know what you're going to do.
Right,
that's
right.
Literally on the thing. On one of them, the code for the computer that you need to get into is written on the disc. That's two of them.
Yeah.
People who are fans of Metal Gear Solid now are going, why haven't you said this one? Genuinely, one day I'm going to introduce you to all of them. And you watch him and you go, my God, that man knows he's making video games.
See, I make Hideo Kojima to be more of the Nolan of, like, because, you know. How,
oh, yeah, I don't think he's
have...
on a level with Hitchcock, but I mean,
I
he's
think,
closer to being an auteur than David Cage is.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
It's like,
right.
If you're going to say a Spielberg esque, I'd say, what's his name from Nintendo? Miyamoto.
Well, I see Miyamoto more as a sort of Stan Lee character than anything else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think I don't mean to cut you. I just think because he's Miyamoto. This is such a distraction. Miyamoto, if you don't know Mason, he's Mario. Your Mario's. Your Zelda. If there's ever a Nintendo Cinematic Universe, he will be the one making the cameos.
Yeah.
Put it this way. Sadly, Iwata can't because he's away. Away being slang for having died a few years ago. Let me wrap through this a bit now. Yeah, no, sorry, Cyberpunk. Yes, you explained what it was, but yeah, the big twist was that Keanu Reeves turns up at the end of it, which is cool. And then he did a bit of a speech, which was the only good, because people kept heckling in a really shitty way this year. The exception to that was the guy who heckled Keanu, because that was just wonderful comic timing, where Keanu said, the visuals of this game are just breathtaking, and someone goes, you're breathtaking, which was great, and hats off to them. And then I think they ended up giving him the saying that he would get the game free. I can't remember what he got something, the heckler. Anyway, which is why loads of other hecklers have started up. Stop it. The one guy got it, and it was good.
Oh.
Stop it now. Anyway... Cyberpunk, you're okay for me to move on from Cyberpunk?
Yeah, go for it.
You're allowed.
I'm allowed, cool.
You're
the
allowed.
Outer Worlds, which I'm more interested in, the trailer didn't interest me particularly, but it's something I'm really interested in because it's been made by Obsidian. It's a sci-fi
That's obscene.
Game. Sorry?
That's obscene.
Obsidian.
Obscene.
Dragonglass, your tool.
I know, I'm just...
Obsidian, who's made up of people who left Black Isle, who were the people who made the original Fallout games, as in Fallout 1, 2, and the assorted other ones that happened, and then also made Fallout New Vegas, which is the best Fallout game of the modern era. I won't argue about 1 and 2, because 1 and 2 have got are great in their own right. But they're making a film, a game called... The Outer Worlds, and I'd like them to capitalise on how badly Bethesda have handled their franchises in the last couple of... Well, the last year... Well, I say the last couple of years. In the last 10 years, but like specifically the last year or so. And I think they know that because in the trailer for The Outer Worlds, they put the creators of the original Fallout games and Fallout New Vegas, which may as well be them going, the ones who made the good ones... It's like if Irving Kirshner was still alive and like he made a Star Wars film and the trailer, it'd be like, he directed Empire, you know? But yes, Outer Worlds, I won't go too much into it. That, I believe, is coming out this year, incidentally. Let me just quickly check that. It struck me as a very Firefly world type thing.
Is it the one that looked like No Man's Sky?
No.
Oh, then I don't know.
There's one called The Outer Wilds as well, which is very confusing. Which does look a bit like No Man's Sky. The Outer Worlds. October 25th, 2019. I'll send you the thing. It basically looks like it's a Fallout game, but in space.
Okay.
And because it's written by them, I'm like, yeah, I'm on board. And it might be less glitchy than a Bethesda one. Because Fallout New Vegas, its main drawback was that it was glitchy as hell, but they had to... I won't go into the hows and whys because I don't want to get into any legal trouble. I'm making it sound like we're being listened to by like people who care. It makes me feel big.
You never know.
I'd rather say it and then not get sued than get sued. But Fallout New Vegas, as many flaws come from the fact that it was rushed, not from the fact that it's a bad game. It's a superb game, and I will defend it to the death because I love it. It's the only game I've ever played that legitimately felt like I was playing a Mad Max film.
Yeah.
And that's just one aspect of it. If you play it a different way, it won't feel anything like Mad Max. It's just that I happened to, about halfway through it, I went, I'm just playing this as Max Rokitansky at this point, but as a female, I used a female avatar. You know, it's a wonderful feeling. And it was long before, that was before Fury Road came out, before the reemergence of Mad Max as a story, essentially.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, Outer Worlds, I'm looking forward to that. Devolver Digital's conference was amazing.
Which one's Devolver Digital?
Devolver Digital, for the last few years, have just started turning up to do a conference, which isn't a conference. It's like a parody of the other conferences. I won't ruin it because I want people to watch it, but this one was a parody of the Nintendo Direct approach. So the way that, you know, they do the live streams, and at one point a man has a tentacle just burst out of his chest for no good reason. So I'll leave you on that. Should I do meh next or losers next?
Do meh.
Meh. I've only got one written down for this. Almost everything else that I've not mentioned you can put in meh, because I've just forgotten it, essentially. If it didn't grab me, it didn't grab me. It might be unfair with this, but the gameplay, which wasn't strictly E3, but the gameplay for that Jedi... Fallen Kingdom, what's it called?
Yeah,
Jedi Park, Fallen Kingdom. Fallen Order, I believe.
It's a stupid...
Yeah, the gameplay was really dull.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's more like someone... I've spoken to someone who's actually played it at E3, because they had it there on the show floor. Yeah. Apparently, it felt a lot like Arkham Asylum, and I was like, well, that didn't come across in the gameplay, so... No. Maybe it will be very good. It's made by Respawn, who we've mentioned Titanfall before, but Respawn are good at making games. It's the people that made Call of Duty 4 and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, who then left Infinity Ward and made their own thing. They're good at making games that are fun. My only worry is that EA might have leaned on them a bit to, you know, make it a bit generic.
I just don't think it's unique enough.
I did feel that.
Yeah.
But,
I would put it in the loser pile. It just looked
like... So I've got a meh pile because it's like, I didn't think it was shit, but I was like, eh.
Yeah, I hope it's good because I hope EA to learn a lesson that single player narrative driven games are
absolutely like, I want them to make another X-Wing. I just make an X-Wing game, a standalone X-Wing game. That's all I want.
Same.
You know what? All the LucasArts shit that they own, there's so much that they could just, you know, a remaster of Knights of the Old Republic. If you're not going to make a new one, remaster Knights of the Old Republic. You know, or like I say, the X-Wing games or Empire of War.
I want like another Rogue Squadron or
Rogue Squadron. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Stick that on the Switch.
I think we're gonna see a push for Knights of the Old Republic sort of material coming after Episode 9. I reckon they're gonna
have to, surely. Yeah. I mean, there's so much of a audience out there. Like it staggers me that they didn't. I mean, they've got BioWare are going through interesting times at the minute, anyway. But like to own the company that made Knights of the Old Republic and think, nah, we won't bother with that. Like, giving DICE Battlefront made perfect sense to me because Battlefront was always a bit like Battlefield Vietnam, but in space. Yeah. So when they gave DICE that, I was like, well, that makes perfect sense. You know?
Yeah.
The fact that they've not given... I mean, like, Respawn, if they were making... I don't know why they gave a third-person one to Respawn because I'd have given them a first-person one. But whatever. Yeah, I'm on meh still on. So yes, so that bored me a bit. The thing about Ben Burtt playing the robot, I quite enjoy if that's true, because he played Wally, obviously.
Yeah, it's true. He's credited and all that. Yeah,
good. I love Ben Burtt. Yeah, another one. This is very personal to me because I love this series, but the Halo Infinite trailer did absolutely nothing for me. Mm. And it was just a 5-minute pre-rendered trailer, and they've already done one of them, and it didn't tell me anything apart from the fact there's a broken Halo in it.
Yeah, it's trying to tease some sort of a story, but nah.
Yeah, well, it's weird because the last one went so... I didn't really enjoy the last one, but it went so left field with the story that you sort of... I give it props for that because it was like, well, I wasn't seeing that coming. And I don't even know if I mind spoiling it at this point. Basically, at the end of Halo 4, which people say, Halo got shit when Bungie stopped making it. No, Halo 4's great, and the ancillary stuff for Halo 4... the stuff where you played on the Infinity, which was called Halo Infinity, which is really confusing because now we've got Halo Infinite. But the Halo Infinity stuff was really good, really fun, had great voice acting. It had Jennifer Hale in it, who's one of my favourite voice actors in the world. I've got a signature behind me, in fact, somewhere. Oh, it's fallen over. No, it's up there. Yeah, I've got her because she played Commander Shepard in Mass Effect. But, all that was great. But at the end of Halo 4... Cortana, who is the character that is with the Master Chief throughout most of the series, basically sacrifices herself to save the Earth and the Master Chief. Blah, blah, blah. I actually think it's very sad. And I think Jen Taylor playing Cortana all the way through Halo 4 plays it just perfectly to the point where you're feeling for this hologrammatic lady with no clothes on. But in Halo 5, she's alive. She's taken over all of the foreigner technology, all of the ancient technology, and then at the end of it, she takes over the whole fucking universe and just starts, she says, right, none of you are allowed space travel anymore, none of you are allowed to go to war, just turns off the entire planet Earth. She tries to kill the chief, like freezes him, and then you save him as another Spartan. And basically, genuinely, at the end of it, it's like she and the rest of the AI have led an uprising. It's really like, it comes out of nowhere, but you're like, bloody hell, they've gone a bit off the rails with this. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with the new one, and I don't know if I care is the problem. I love it. I've been well into Halo for years. I love all the books. I love a lot of the books.
I've been round to yours and I've seen.
Yeah, they're all just next to me. Yeah. How many have I got next to me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There are 11 Halo books next to me right now, and there's one Halo comic over there. Yes, not all of them are good, by the way. Come back to that because I wanted to recommend something within that. But yeah, Halo Infinite. That's it. That's my meh. I don't know if either of you... Do you have any meh, Oliver?
Just the whole conference in general I felt was a bit meh, to be honest.
All of them were a bit meh, apart from...
Nintendo had a lot of exciting stuff coming.
I've sadly got nothing written down for Nintendo, and that's because I don't own one, but I wish I would like to cover them, because they at least try. Every time they're there, they try.
Looking forward to Ultimate Alliance 3, but I knew that was coming. Breath of the Wild 2.
Is that the one I sent
the
picture of?
That was, yeah.
I love the art style for that. I've only seen that poster and I was like, I'm way more interested in that than that other one.
Did you ever play, it's basically a dungeon crawler is what Ultimate Alliance. Really? Have you ever played, have you ever played the original Ultimate Alliance, the first two?
No, I haven't. I never heard of it until I saw that poster.
They are basically dungeon crawler Marvel RPG games, really. Like, they're sort of, like, they just play, you know, from top down, you just sort of crawl through and you pick a team of four from about 32 odd heroes and stuff like that, and then you make your team.
Oh, that's cool.
You advance that and stuff like that. That's cool.
I'll look into it.
Ultimate Alliance 3, because the last Ultimate Alliance came out in, like, what was it? 2008, 2009?
Really?
So before the MCU then?
That puts it into context. That's more or less before the MCU was the thing that it is, you know.
Oh yeah, it was much further before that. Yeah, it was like definitely there were some big games for me. The first one in particular was better because it was more of an original story. The second one, they tried to adapt Civil War, and they just sort of missed all the good elements of Civil War, really, and just sort of like just did like, oh, here's this scene from Civil War, and then they sort of change it to make a more to incorporate so you could play as villains as well as heroes, and it just like it didn't really make sense in that. But and then they made a weird thing with Nick Fury as the main boss at the end. But the first game was a really cool, really, really good way of introducing people into like the wider Marvel sort of thing. That's the first time I ever heard of the Winter Soldier was through the first Ultimate Alliance game, etc. So yeah, those were really cool games. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Ultimate Alliance 3 will, because it's a very different art style to what the original two were as well. So that'd be interesting. And that's only coming to the Switch, which is also interesting.
Yes, the Switch is doing well, doing gangbusters actually. It has been for months since it came out, and I'm really happy for them.
Yeah. Did you see that Just Dance is still releasing on the Wii?
Oh God,
the original Wii.
Did you see that? That was the very nadir of the entire experience, though, was that Just Dance show.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Mason, Google it.
I'll watch it after.
Oh dear. Oh no. Oh no, no, no. Anyway.
That still sells gangbusters and stuff like that.
It does. Like, well, it's because party Just game, isn't it? It's like, you know. Yeah. Of course, the Wii did well, and it came with Wii Sports. That's why one of the reasons is the Wii, you only had to watch one trailer, and you understood it. Grandparents understood it. Parents understood it. And that's why the Wii U didn't sell well, because the trailer didn't make any sense, you know? Yeah. Whereas the Switch trailer
did. Do you remember the iToy?
I do remember the iToy, yes.
Do you remember the iToy?
Yeah, the iToy was great for, like, parties and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. There's times where I do, and it very rarely this happens with games. There's a lot of them I have on my PC, and a lot of them I have on my Xbox, but there is occasionally I just go, you know what, I'd really like to play Wii Sports. Just in my mind, I get the do 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 in my head. Anyway, so can we move on to losers?
Oh, I thought we were already there.
Losers are separate things.
Okay, losers
are people that I thought was awful. I've only actually got two things on here. There's a lot in there, but we've been talking for at this point 43 minutes. So Bethesda's whole gig was them saying we've put this in the game, but it's a thing that was in the other games. So it was like, Fallout 76 has non-player, it has NPCs, human NPCs that you can talk to, and it'll have, you know, it basically said it lists things that are in another Fallout game, and it's like, we're bringing this to Fallout 76, and people cheered, and it was like, you can't take things away and then, you know, it's like stealing you, I steal your car and then come back and go, I've brought your car. You know, it's like, no, this is the bare minimum of what we expect, Bethesda. We know it's going to be a buggy mess. You know, Bethesda, I think what happened last year is Bethesda finally ran out of goodwill, because their games have been glitchy messes for years, because they've been using the same engine for years. And a lot of people sort of retroactively started realizing, actually, Fallout 3 isn't as good as people say it is. I don't think it's very good. Yeah. I've never really.
And every year they keep saying, this is enough for Skyrim.
Well, but that's that it, yeah. And, you know, Skyrim has all the same bugs as Fallout 3. You know, Fallout 4 has all the same bugs as Skyrim. Skyrim has all the same bugs as Fallout 3. Fallout 3 has all the same, you know, it's using the Gamebryo engine. I think it's the Gamebryo engine. I can't remember. But it's, you know, but it always coast by because the world of Fallout is great. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing. But they didn't create it. Someone else did. But they've used it well. And they've written some good stories in there. You know, the world of the Elder Scrolls is really good. It's a great world. It's quite an egalitarian. So it's one of those rare things where it's like, you know, the Lord of the Rings is very sort of European Middle Ages, so it has a lot of the same sensibilities of it. Whereas like the Elder Scrolls, because it's in a completely different planet, it's like, you know, women can do the same thing as men. You know, it's a really cool concept. But I think with Fallout 76, they just pushed their luck a bit too far, and people were like,
"Yeah,
you can't keep doing this." And Fallout, I mean, I'll send you a video, Mason, that you will enjoy. I always say to Mason here instead of just Ollie, because Mason's less.
More of an education.
He's not
for me.
Waded in the shit as much as me and Ollie have.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not knee deep in it as we are. But there's a great video called The Fall of 76, which basically explains everything wrong with Fallout 76, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Oh no.
And I think this year was interesting because the whooping sound is so hollow. It's like watching I'm making this. This isn't like a Godwin's Law thing. I'm just saying it's like watching dictators where the people are clapping because they're being told to clap, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like nobody was really. The only interesting thing at Bethesda was Doom, and that's because it's id. It'd make good games. It's just the way it is. The other thing I put, and I'm preparing for the backlash for saying it, that Avengers game looked garbage. I'm sorry, it looked rubbish. It might be really fun to play, and I'm sure it probably will. But there was no gameplay in the trailer. There wasn't gameplay in the trailer. That was all pre-rendered. I'm sorry, that was all pre-rendered. You can't tell me
it was
gameplay. if you say there was gameplay in it, sure, but I didn't see the gameplay in it. Which bit was the gameplay then? Sorry, which bit was the gameplay?
Well, the third person sort of aspect.
It was all third person.
But there was like bits where like the Hulk's jumping over a bridge and then kicks a person to the side, or when Thor and Iron Man are flying, or when Black Widow's.
That when Thor and Iron Man were flying thing. Was when, gameplay.
And when Cap and
it looks garbage. In that case, then it looks garbage.
When Captain America's in the helicarrier and fighting, that's part of his combat gameplay and things like that.
That all looks pre-rendered.
I can pinpoint which parts are gameplay.
Gameplay. Is that coming out this year?
No, May next year.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, they've got to make the entire game.
It just looks so fugly.
It looked so. I think the thing that bothered me about it is, one, it was aping the aesthetic of the MCU, which is fine because the MCU is massive. But then, like, making a point going, well, it's not MCU. And it's like, okay, but you made it look a lot like. Let me finish before you get into your comic bullshit. It looked like MCU, but with. Like, as you say, it looked like. Like Madame Two Swords of the MCU.
Yeah.
It looked
like,
you know, it was like the bit in Spaceballs where it's like, you got the stunt doubles bit. everybody looked wrong. The voice acting was not great in it. And then it was like, oh no, the thing's happening over there. Oh, do fly in and go over to it. But it was like making a thing that looked like a thing. It was like, yeah, but let's make it look 10 times worse.
Yeah, that it looked quite depressing as well.
And I think the worst
thing
is...
For an Avengers game.
It looked depressing, yeah, that was the other thing. And it was like, I don't know if that's because they thought, Infinity War ended on a downer. We'll do that. That'll be fine.
Because they've already like shown they're going to kill off Cap, and then...
He's not going to stay dead.
Well, he probably will be.
I don't think he was Captain America anyway. They've killed off the stunt double.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just all of it was...
Hashtag not my Cap.
What's going on with Thor? Thor's beard looked ridiculous.
He looked like Asterix.
It looked like it had been painted on, like post-production, they just painted on the screen.
I'm sure they got time to, like...
No.
To, like...
It might be great, but the trailer was garbage. I'm sorry.
I thought the meh, the trailer...
No, you didn't. You said... Yeah. What was the word he used?
Come on.
Look,
I just pointed at the microphone as if I'm talking to you as the microphone.
And how I'm watching you two on my laptop screen. You're on the right and Ollie's on the left, so you are pointing to him. It's great.
Look, I'm looking forward to it because, we haven't...
Love Marvel.
Because I like Marvel. Yeah, there's one thing, but let's put it this way in perspective. So, Spider-Man PS4 was the first of a new generation of Marvel game, sort of. In terms of video games, because Marvel games have been shite for the last 10 years before Spider-Man PS4. Like, the last decent Marvel game that came out before then was maybe Ultimate Alliance 1. And, like, that was, like, 2008.
Is this Avengers by Insomniac?
Sorry? No, this isn't Insomniac. This is the same developer that made Rise and Tomb Raider. This is basically the same developer as Tomb Raider.
No, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
What, just because it's Square Enix, but Square Enix own loads of companies.
No, but they said it was the same company that made...
Avengers game, that'll do. The Avengers game, Everything We Know. That is a very small article.
It was Eidos Montreal, yeah, who made Tomb Raider.
Eidos Montreal?
So it's the same.
Oh, Crystal Dynamics. It is Crystal Dynamics. Fair enough.
Yeah, Crystal Demic, yeah.
Tomb Raider was released on Linux. I'm just learning. Yeah. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Yeah, Marvel's Avengers made by... Oh, that's quite distressing, because all of these games are quite decent, except Thief, which was garbage. Deus Ex.
It might
not be shit, Mason. It looks garbage, but it might not be... Hang on! We were talking about this. We were talking about hair game in games, and the ones with the characters with the best hair game, and Lara Croft was very high up.
Yeah.
Lara's hair is great. Why don't they use that technology on Thor's beard?
Or Black Widow's hair, because Black Widow's hair looked really bouffant that she's wearing. Like, yeah.
She looked like Margaret Thatcher. Yeah.
I reckon they'll
this
do it.
This lady is not for turning.
They'll probably do a Sonic the Hedgehog thing where they'll like re-render it and stuff like that and change the look.
They'll probably crunch the artists and make them work late, because that's what they do in this industry if you don't work for Nintendo.
Yeah,
I won't get onto that because I could be ranting for hours about that. I'll introduce you to that depressing aspect of the games industry as well, Mason, I'm afraid.
Oh, can't wait.
Crunch. Oh, wait till you hear about crunch. It's lovely.
But yeah, no, I'm interested to see what other aspects they do when they expand, because they said they're not just going to stick to the West Coast. They're going to expand out and bring in other Marvel characters and things like that. So whether that means they brought in Hank Pym, which is more the younger version of Hank Pym that we're used to more in the comics, which would be interesting to see. So I'm interested to see whether they bring in some more obscure Avengers, because like they were saying that they were looking through the back catalogue and like looking through characters that have been in maybe a couple of issues and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what we see and stuff like that coming. And I've heard aspects of what they're planning on gameplay wise.
Oh, Vienna! Oh, he's gonna storm off again.
Oh, he's storming off! I don't even know if I'll get away with putting Ultravox on the show. I made him walk off!
Vienna!
Oh, he's like asleep in his room.
Bye, Ollie.
This means nothing to me.
Made him stop though. So.
It did. That was. I level with you, listener. I got that from an Instagram post I did, where he was posting about comics, and I decided to post that a clip of Ultravox. And honestly, it's the most proud I've ever been of anything. I don't like people who laugh at their own jokes, but I was on the floor. I was laughing, and the best thing was it was so good that even Ollie went, "Oh, you've got to post that."
Yeah,
but he's going away again.
Ollie,
how do you feel, Ollie?
He's returned.
Oh, hang on, he's got to put his headphones on. How do you feel, Ollie? The feeling is gone, only you and I. It means nothing to me.
Hey, did I talk about that Spider-Man 4 teaser that they were thinking of, but then it turned out to not be Spider-Man 4?
No, you didn't.
Is that to do with the game, or is it to do with film?
No, it's to do with Well, they were like saying, or Marvel were putting tweets out saying, like, 4, 3, and everyone
was
leaping.
Funny. Yeah.
Everyone was leaping towards thinking it was Spider-Man 4 being adapted, the script for Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 4 being adapted into a comic book, and then that goal got shot down like a day later. So,
Vienna.
And then he says, like, this means nothing to me. And it just.
That was why you posted. That was why you were. I've just explained to people why I posted it. You were just posting things about comics, and I just thought, this means nothing to me. Oh, Midge, please don't sue. He won't sue. Don't copyright strike us. That's my.
He won't sue. That's cool. He's a cool guy.
I was saying to myself, I was just so proud of that joke yesterday. I was just so happy with myself. And even you were like, "Oh, you've got to post that." Anyway.
How long have we been talking about?
Fucking
now,
video games. God, they're awful.
About 55 minutes.
55 minutes.
Games. Okay.
Blimey.
Continued in part two.
Oh, I'm nearly 27.